Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Wednesday, March 20th. In the headlines, Prime Minister Skerritnell says the new deadline date for the public to see the selected recommendations for electoral reform to be brought to Parliament for approval is the second week of April 2024.
Q95DA.
World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus strongly advocates for global solidarity in signing a pandemic treaty in order to advance the fight against pandemics. And Gambia could become the first country to reverse a plan on female genital mutilation if it enacts a repeal bill debated in Parliament. But WHO warns FGM could have severe consequences, including death.
DA.com.
The news is brought to you compliments, Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Welcome back. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt has given an update towards the tabling the recommendations submitted by Sudanese Baran for electoral reform in Parliament. In an address on Tuesday, Mr. Skerritt said in the second week of April 2024, the government will make public its selected recommendations to be brought to Parliament for approval. He added that the financial allocations will be put aside to allow the Electoral Commission to carry out the new reform measures.
The Attorney General, along with a team, have gone through the proposal submitted by Sir Dennis Byron in a very scrupulous manner, and also looked at all of the comments and suggestions which came out of the very expansive and engaging national consultation. And in addition to that, taking into consideration observations and comments we've received thus far from the international observers. And so the Attorney General has gone through this, and there are recommendations on what we believe should go to Parliament for consideration. I believe that all things considered, by the second week of April, we will present to the public by publication of the recommendations on the government website and making it available to all and sundry, so that they can be aware of what we're proposing to take to the Parliament in respect to electoral reform, following which, as is required by law, we will submit that to the Electoral Commission. And then once we receive word from the Electoral Commission, we will go to Parliament to pass the legislation and to give the Electoral Commission the legal authority now by Parliament to proceed with implementing the electoral reform measures. In addition to that, we will ensure that the necessary budgetary allocations will be made in this upcoming budget to allow for the Electoral Commission to have the resources to implement the electoral reform measures.
The Prime Minister went on to advise his political opponents to embrace the move for electoral reform, acknowledging that it has been a long-standing call of opposition parties in Dominica.
So I am satisfied that we will go to Parliament before the end of the financial year and before we present the 2024-2025 budget to the country. It's important that we move ahead with it. My hope and prayer is that those persons who say they want electoral reform and that they are genuinely interested in electoral reform will understand we have to go, we have to move, and move with implementing those things.
And that was Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. Dominica Freedom Party leader Bernard Ito is calling on the Minister of National Security, Reuben Blackmore, to professionally respond and address the concerns raised by His Lordship Justice Colin Williams about the failing state of Dominica's justice system and the huge backlog of cases currently at the High Court that have not been heard. Speaking to Q95 News on Tuesday, Ito advised the Attorney General and National Security Minister Blackmore to hold a press conference to deny or acknowledge the issues at the High Court and the immediate solutions that will be taken to address these issues.
I think any decent government, any well-governed country, any socialized and sociable and decent country, civilized country, would immediately have seen a response from the responsible persons, the Attorney General, certainly the Minister of responsible for that for legal affairs and security as well, since a large aspect of that referred to the police and their ability to get cases prosecuted. Absolutely. In fact, the very first thing would have been a well-organized press conference or statement addressing the concerns, addressing the nation, and addressing the concerns that were expressed. But and that would be a high priority, because these are serious, not allegations, but these are serious revelations of just how dire the situation is. Yet, as we have seen in the past, though, the certain arrogance and insolence of this government to not respond or to not address the issues that are raised. They simply dismiss it, and they believe that somehow their political base will be okay with such an arrogant attitude. And that is very unfortunate for addressing and fixing issues in our country.
Dominica Freedom Party leader Bernard Ito. Executive Director of the Independent Regulatory Commission, IRC, Mr. Justin Keith, advises the public that the IRC must work within the policy provided by the government regarding tariff reviews. Currently, the government of Dominica ratified a policy in 2021, which states that the administration seeks to have 100% of Dominica's electricity demand supplied by renewable energy. Case, while speaking to MO News on Monday, highlighted that these renewable energy initiatives are still in progress in Dominica, and said that this energy to impact the tariff in any positive way, the geothermal plant will have to be fully operational.
Renewable energy initiatives are still in progress. As for the renewable energy to impact the tariff in any positive way, the plant must be completed. The geothermal plant must be completed. The IRC is mandated by law to work within government's policy, and the government policy was ratified in 2021 at Parliament that we would like to generate all our electricity from renewable energy sources by 2030. So the IRC must work within that constraint to ensure that we achieve that target.
And that was Executive Director of the IRC, Justin Keith. The government of Dominica, represented by its Ministry of Tourism, announces its participation in the Roots Americas 2024 conference from March 19th to 21st in Bogota, Colombia. This event signifies Dominica's dedication to improving air connectivity and solidifying its reputation as a leading sustainable destination globally. Tourism Minister Dennis Charles Pemberton claims Dominica's involvement underscores its commitment to forging strategic partnerships and enhancing air access that is vital for the growth of its tourism sector. Dominica's delegation to Roots Americas 2024 includes Tourism Minister Dennis Charles Pemberton, CEO of Dominica Air and Seaport Authority Benoit Badwell, CEO of Dominica's International Airport Development Company, Samuel Johnson, Communications and Public Relations Specialist at Discover Dominica Authority, Monel Alexis, and Miss Dominica 2024, Kiana Dyer.
Today, as we step into Roots Americas for the third time, our enthusiasm and optimism for what lies ahead are unprecedented. Our previous engagements have led to significant enhancements, such as the Douglas Charles Airport runway improvement. This has demonstrated to our airline partners and stakeholders that Dominica is serious about its development and future prospects. As we continue to build on established connections and forge new ones, our focus remains on creating a sustainable, accessible, and enriching experience for all who visit our shores. This dedication to relationship building is the cornerstone of our success and will propel us toward even greater achievements as we continue to invest in the new international airport and other initiatives.
Minister for Tourism Dennis Charles Pemberton, during the inauguration of the OECS Council of Youth and Sports Ministers, Director General of the OECS Commission, Dr. Didicus Jules, referenced the Bastia Treaty and emphasized the importance of establishing and implementing a unified policy for human and social development that is aligned with international objectives.
The revised Treaty of Bastia, which is our North Star, in Article 23, Human and Social Development, 23.1, speaks to development and adoption of a harmonized common policy for human and social development. It speaks about achieving and surpassing international goals for poverty eradication, for universal primary education, for gender equality and empowerment, for health resilience and environmental sustainability. And it speaks to the effective participation of all sectors of society in decision-making at community and national levels. The RTB specifically commits each protocol member state in 23.1F to, and I quote, provide an enabling legislative, policy, and administrative environment needed to support social relations and cohesion for children, youth, men and women in the economic union area.
Dr. Jules underscores that it is imperative to address social development concerns for the region's people and youth, as outlined in 2010, which has become even more pressing as the region grapples with internal and external challenges.
The concern for social development of the people and youth of our region, while articulated in 2010, has become an increasingly urgent imperative as we are increasingly confronted by internal and external challenges that threaten our very survival as small states in a world of heightened uncertainty and volatility. This is the context that we have come today, in which we have come today to inaugurate the Council of Ministers of Youth and Sport, a pivotal moment in our collective efforts to secure a brighter future for the youth of our region. It is also significant that today coincides with the fifth anniversary of our sister Guadeloupe's accession to the OECS.
And that was Dr. Didicus Jules, Director General of the OECS Commission. The Ministry of Education, Human Resource Planning, Vocational Training and National Excellence of Dominica is thrilled to announce the commencement of French Week 2024, coinciding with the International Francophonie Month. This year marks the 54th anniversary of the Francophonie, and Dominica joins the global celebration with an array of cultural and educational activities scheduled throughout March 2024. The focal point of this celebration is the highly anticipated French Spelling Bee competition, set to take place on the 20th of March at 10 a.m. at the Alias Française, themed Le Français Toujours Vivant, French is Always Alive. The competition aims to spotlight students' accomplishments in learning the French language and Francophonie culture. 9 promising students from various primary schools across Dominica will compete in the French Spelling Bee competition, showcasing their linguistic prowess and admiration for the French language. In addition to the Spelling Bee, the ministry has curated a diverse range of activities, including French assemblies, a Francophonie Week at all schools, Dominica Grammar School's Bal Masque and Creole Literacy Week, spanning from March 18th to 29th for 2024. Finally, in the local news, during the official launch of the 2024 basketball season, President of the Dominica Olympic Committee, Billy Doctorow, acknowledged the challenges facing basketball on the island. He emphasized the need for a collaborative and determined approach to restore the sport to its former glory days. Dr. Trove acknowledged that the journey to elevate the sport back to its previous level would not be easy, but expressed optimism for its future under the guidance of the Olympic Committee.
I recognize the difficulty that basketball is facing. I grew up in the days when basketball was a major and successful sport in Dominica. And we don't live in the past. And we have to try to see whether we can get those days back. But it's not going to be easy. And we can't depend totally on the persons who fill the role of the head table. We cannot depend on the persons who fill the role of the general membership. It has to be a combined effort. And I dare to say that if both parties are not meshing and are going hand in hand, we'll never get to where we will. And that is where we, the Dominican Committee, would like to see basketball back. I know that over the past week or 2 weeks, the association attempted to hold an AGM and both attempts failed. But this doesn't reflect well on basketball. Because as I said, we cannot give the responsibility to either the executive or the general machine. We have to work in harmony.
Doctorov is hopeful that the present organization responsible for the advancement and promotion of basketball will reconsider the notion of enhancing the structure of the basketball association.
I saw on the program of activities for the year that there is an item labeled club structure, and I would believe that means that there are going to be attempts to revisit and reorganize and improve the club structure within the basketball association. I think that's a very worthwhile venture. But when we analyze, we have the difficulty to have an AGM, and we have attempted twice. Probably we should have had that item moved up forward before the league commences. Because as I already said, and everybody know my stance on that, leagues, competition, tours, whether locally or overseas, they form a very important and integral part in sports development. But I always believe that preparation and training form an even more important part. And the leagues and competitions and tours.
President of the Dominica Olympic Committee, Bailey Doctorov. In other news, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, Director General of the World Health Organization, appealed to the international community on Monday, emphasizing the opportunity for global solidarity in the fight against pandemics through the signing of the so-called Pandemic Treaty. He added that countries cannot forget the trauma of the COVID-19 pandemic and the painful lessons learned, urging member states not to forget the 7 million people who died during the coronavirus emergency. At the World Health Organization headquarters in Geneva, countries embarked on a 9-day negotiating marathon to finalize a draft agreement. Tedros emphasized to delegations that the potential benefits of the treaty were of utmost importance and cannot be measured and will endure for greatness. However, media reports has indicated potential obstacles to a deal. These included concerns among low and middle income countries that they might not receive sufficient compensation for collaborating with drug manufacturers. There were also fears that they might not obtain enough technical know-how to produce medicines themselves. The pandemic treaty aimed to address inequality or equity and numerous other problems identified during the COVID-19 pandemic. And on Monday, Gambian lawmakers debated lifting the ban on female genital mutilation, GFGM. Despite activists' efforts to end the practice, the country implemented strict penalties in 2015 for those involved in FGM. The World Health Organization warns that FGM has no health benefits and can lead to severe consequences, including death.
These Gambians are marching in favor of reversing a ban on female genital mutilation. Their demonstration in the capital Banjul on Monday was taking place as lawmakers debated legislation that would do exactly that. If Gambia's repeal bill is passed, then it would become the first country to reverse a ban on FGM. It would also, says Amnesty International's West Africa researcher Michelle Ecken, be disastrous for women's rights not only in Gambia, but in the wider region.
It would tell young girls, you know, your rights can be easily taken away. If this is passed, then what's next? We have to really be strong about it and make sure that we don't take away something that took so long to fight for.
Gambia imposed steep fines and jail sentences in 2015 for those who carry out female circumcision. The practice has no health benefits, the World Health Organization says, and can lead to excessive bleeding, shock, psychological problems, and even death. The number of women and girls worldwide who have undergone FGM has increased to 230 million from 200 million over the past 8 years, the United Nations Children's Fund reported earlier this month. UNICEF said the largest share were found in African countries, with over 144 million cases. Ecken said the most prominent voices in support of the practice come from men.
And we need to listen to women and young girls who've been through femoral genital mutilation and have the scars to show for it.
Gambia's repeal bill was presented earlier this month. It argues that the ban violates citizens' rights to practice their culture and religion in what is an overwhelmingly Muslim country.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Prime Minister Skerrit now says the new deadline date for the public to see the selected recommendations for electoral reform to be brought to Parliament for approval is the second week of April 2024.
The Big Station.
World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus strongly advocates for global solidarity in signing a pandemic treaty in order to advance the fight against pandemics. And Gambia could become the first country to reverse a ban on female genital mutilation if it enacts a repeal bill debated in Parliament.
Regional and
but the WHO warns FGM could have severe consequences, including death. The news was brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I am Felicin Valman.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q.